Amen. Singing great. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And then we'll work on some memory verses here. Matthew 1. And then let's go to John chapter 8 and verse 36. John chapter 8 and verse 36. Okay, let's go through this one three times, okay? John 8, 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. John 8, 36. John 8, 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. John 8, 36. John 8, 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. John 8, 36. Then if we could go to John 8, 34, America needs John 8, 36 because of John 8, 34. I'm sorry, John 8, 34. Okay. All right, let's go through this one three times. John 8, 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. John 8, 34. John 8, 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. John 8, 34. John 8, 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. John 8, 34. Then if we could go back to John 8, 36, let's do that one time. John 8, 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. John 8, 36. So we want to get the gospel out. The songs have been great tonight. So on the tables over here, there's a few boxes, if you've seen. There's about, a few have to be added to that tomorrow, but there's about 6,000 Bible courses headed for the Philippines. And then some of the young people is helping with gathering tracts this morning. And I forget how many thousands, but they will be added to that. They'll be put in Balik buy-in boxes. So if we sent those through the post office, four of those boxes would probably cost us $450 to ship to the Philippines. But in a Balik buy-in box, we can put four of those boxes in one Balik buy-in box, and that costs about $90 to $100 to ship. So it's $450 versus about $100. So it's a huge shipping difference. So I'd like us really to pray that God would really use those Bible courses and gospel tracts in the Philippines. So before we begin here, if I could have Brother Barry lead us in prayer and then Brother Jim pray after him, just thinking about preparing our hearts for the message. And then also please pray that God would use that shipment. So Brother Barry, would you lead us, please, sir?
Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to come together and worship you tonight, Lord. We thank you for the freedom that you give it to us, Lord. We do want to think of these boxes, the Bible courses and tracts that we go into the Philippines. Yes. And Lord, we ask, first of all, that you would just give them a safe travel, that they would arrive in the Philippines intact and usable.
Yes.
Lord, we just ask that as those go out, find many hearts, Lord, that are ready for the seed to be planted.
Highest boxes and put in the mail. Father, sometimes handled very roughly. Mm-hmm. We ask that you would protect those orders. Mm-hmm. We ask that you would use each one of those tracts, each one of the Bible courses to reach the Filipino people. Mm-hmm. Father, there has been probably thousands of pieces of material, maybe millions, sent over to the Philippines, but yet there are still many people over there that have not heard. And we ask that you would use this to reach those people with the gospel.
Yes.
Father, just your word has promised us it will not return void.
Amen.
And Father, we ask that you would use them now.
Yes.
We ask that you would be with Pastor tonight as he preaches. Just put on his heart that what we need. And Father, help us to apply it to our lives. Father, once again, we thank you for all that you've done for us, and what you're going to do for us in the future. Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, let's turn to Matthew chapter 1. Tonight, we would like to talk about how did they know? How did they know what to do in different situations? In Matthew 1 and verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. How did Joseph know whether to take Mary to be his wife? Verse 18 says they were espoused. It says, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. So they were engaged, they were betrothed, they were espoused. But to get the whole picture, it was like, okay, so they are engaged. Why was Joseph pondering whether to marry her? So let's go to Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, and to get the background picture of what's going on here, about why there was a question. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Luke 1:26. The Bible says that in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So this is the background. Joseph is pondering, okay, he's engaged, he's a spouse to Mary, and she's found with child. And what he's thinking is the only thing you would naturally think, that she's been immoral, that she's been unfaithful to him. And what compounds this problem is the next verse here in verse 39. It says, And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. So the problem is when this angel appears to her and she says, Be it unto me, then she takes off. I mean, she doesn't stay there to explain things to Joseph. She just takes off to see her cousin Elizabeth. And so she's gone out there seeing Elizabeth for 3 months' time. Now, it was a confirmation to her of that it was from God. In verse 40 here, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, what? Leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And then Elizabeth gives a message to Mary here. And so it's confirming it to Mary, but down in verse 56, and Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. So she's received this news, and she takes off to see Elizabeth. She comes back 3 months later and expecting, and so Joseph is only wondering, well, what has happened? And so that's why if we go back now to Matthew chapter 1, that's the background of what we're facing here in verse 18. Matthew 1, 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, so when someone was immoral, of course, the Old Testament law, you could bring out someone like that and put them to death. But, verse 19, Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example. So that would be making her a public example, bringing her forth before the elders of the land, saying, I am a spouse to this young lady. She's expecting a child, and she's been immoral. She's been unfaithful to me. And they would have stoned her, but he was not willing to make her a public example. It goes on to say, was minded to put her away privately. So a Jewish engagement was binding. And so with the Jews, they actually did like a divorce to break the engagement. And of course, you can understand, I mean, with us today, you know, we don't have a dowry. You know, we was talking about this recently, but, you know, there's an exchange of rings. And of course, that can be expensive enough, but it's nothing like, you know, Jacob working 7 years for He thought Rachel, really it was Leah, and then he had to do another 7 years for Rachel. So there was quite an exchange there. So it wasn't just something that could be broken easily, okay? Had to be official. And so he's thinking about doing this route. He does not want to see Mary hurt. He's convinced because of physical proof that something's happened there. And so he's not going to marry her, he's thinking. But he was going to put her away privately. He was going to tend to it privately to break the engagement. So that's why when verse 20, Matthew 1:20, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." So now we're seeing the angel explain to him what the angel had explained, what Gabriel had explained to Mary. In verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, but what convinces him? Look at verse 22. "Now all this was done that it might be" what? "Fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by" who? "The prophet." So the angel to convince Joseph that this was of God told him, this is according to Scripture. This is a fulfillment of prophecy. And the prophecy is in verse 23. "Behold" what? "A virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is what? "God with us." So the angel shows, listen, this child will be called Emmanuel. Not just because it's a name pulled out of the hat, because he will be called this because of what it means. What does Emmanuel mean? It's interpreted as God with us. So that is when verse 24, Matthew 1:24, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep," what? "Did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife." So what convinced Joseph that it was okay? Because humanly speaking, it was not okay. What convinced him was the Scripture. That is what convinced him. So in verse 23, where it says, "His name shall be called Emmanuel," which being interpreted is "God with us." Now, if you hold your place there and go with me to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Now, you know, Jewish young men were taught to memorize great portions of Scripture. And so a Jewish young man should immediately recognize this from Isaiah 9:6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor," and then what? "The Mighty God," and then what? "The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So verse 6, this child that would be born, this son that would be given, is going to be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And then if you go back to Matthew chapter 1, in verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be a child, and shall bring forth the son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is "God with us." And then the first part of the verse, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son." I should have had you stay in Isaiah, but if you want to go back to Isaiah 7:14, that was another prophecy. So what convinces Joseph is the Scripture. In Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold," what? "A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name" what? "Emmanuel." So there's the same part of the verse right there, the prophecy. So what just made me think about this was just starting reading through the Bible again. And so I'm thinking, okay, in chapter 1, Joseph had a big decision, a very difficult decision. And it was this when the Scripture was given to him, that was when he knew what to do. So then I'm reading on through, and then in chapter 2, Matthew chapter 2. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying," what? "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." So the wise men were not wise in the sense of knowing where he was going to be born, because what city did they come to in verse 1? Jerusalem. And where was he going to be born? Well, they didn't know. They came to worship him. Well, verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them what? Where Christ should be born. He didn't know. The wise men didn't know. They came to Jerusalem. Well, the chief priests and scribes knew, verse 5. And they said unto him, in where? Bethlehem. How did they know? Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is what? Written by the prophet. They knew because of what the scriptures prophesied. So I'm reading through my Bible and saying, well, this is interesting. How was Joseph convinced whether to take Mary or not as his wife? Well, it was the scriptures, the angel giving him the scriptures. How did the wise men know where Jesus was born? They didn't come to the right city to find him, but they did come to the right city to find people who knew what the Word of God said. Even though the chief priests and scribes did not follow what it said, they knew what it said. It was Bethlehem of Judea, verse 6, and they quote it. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And if you hold your place here, to go to me to Micah 5:2, that was where the prophecy was given, was in Micah 5:2. Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Obadiah, Jonah, Micah 5 and verse 2. Micah 5:2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. Now, what did they leave off, though? The chief priests and the scribes, they knew the Bible said the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. But you know, notice they did not quote the last part of the verse. It says, whose goings forth have been from of old, from what? Everlasting. There's only one person that's been from of old, from everlasting, and who is that? God, okay? He's the only one that has always existed. And isn't it strange? The wise men come to Jerusalem. They didn't know what the scripture said where he was going to be born. So they come to Jerusalem. Herod doesn't know. The chief priests and the scribes know. But isn't it something that it was the chief priests and scribes that rejected Jesus? And what was their point of rejection? That Jesus was claiming to be equal with who? God. And so, is it strange? They knew the verse where it says where he was going to be born, but they did not look at the context that this one has been from of old, from everlasting. And you couple that with Isaiah 9:6, which we just read, it said the Messiah would be called the Mighty God, and yet they reject him. So the only one that goes on to find the child Jesus is the wise men. They were the only ones that actually followed the scripture. Have you ever wondered why the chief priests and scribes didn't also go? The wise men said they'd seen a star in the east, but they didn't go. Herod didn't go. Only the wise men went. Only the wise men were humble enough to follow the scriptures. So as I'm reading through this, I'm thinking, well, Joseph, it was Joseph from the scriptures that showed him to take Mary as his wife. It was the wise men from the scriptures that showed them where to go. Now, once they consulted the scriptures, God can use circumstances in our lives also, but we should never be led initially or primarily by circumstances. As we read on in Matthew 2, verse 7, Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, what did it do? Went before them till it, what? Came and stood where? Over where the young child was. So the star itself did not lead them to Jesus because they saw the star in the east. They ended up in Jerusalem. So the star was not moving at first. The star only moved after consulting the scriptures. And we should only follow God, we should only follow circumstances when first led of the scripture what to do. Because just following, my car is missing. I better pull over. Oh, I just happened to pull over in front of the new car dealer. Ah, this must be a sign from God. It's time to buy a new car. Well, it might be and it might not be, okay? So we must not go just by circumstances, but always by the scripture. So I'm reading on in my Bible, then Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 2, and I'm noticing these things. These people are led by the scripture. And then chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Well, did the scribes and the Pharisees accept John as from heaven? No, they did not. They rejected him as being from heaven. Later on, Jesus would have a conversation with them, and they were not ready to say, "No, John, he and his message was not from heaven." They weren't ready to say that at all. So what does verse 3 say? "For this is he that was spoken of by" who? "The prophet Esaias," which is the Greek spelling for Isaiah. "It was spoken of by the prophet Esaias, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" Why should they have accepted John as this messenger? Because the scriptures prophesied it. That's why. But they rejected him. And that prophecy here was found in Isaiah 40. If you hold your place here, turn me to Isaiah 40. You know, this is also why it's pretty hard in these new translations for people to tamper with the Word of God and no one noticed. The reason is because the Old Testament prophecies, you compare back and forth. So it's one book knit together. It's 66 individual books knit together in one, the Bible. Well, in Isaiah 40, verse 3. Isaiah 40, verse 3. Here's the prophecy. "The voice of him that crieth in" where? The wilderness. Remember, John the Baptist was raised in the wilderness. The priesthood, and his dad was a priest, Zacharias. Remember when the angel appeared in him, Zacharias was performing his duty, offering the incense in the temple. That was the time of prayer. The people were without praying. He was in there offering the incense. He was a priest, but God did not have his son be raised in that corrupt environment. He was raised in the wilderness. "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And" what? "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." You see, the scribes and the Pharisees and the priest should have accepted John as from heaven. They should have known this prophecy. What is this man out in the wilderness? He's not here in the temple. like we've always been, the priest. This guy is out in the wilderness and thousands of people are going out there to hear him. What is going on? You know, if they would have consulted the scriptures, they would have said, you know, there's a prophecy that this was going to happen, that this one would be out in the wilderness crying out to make the way straight, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And he was fulfilling that prophecy, but they missed it because they were not being led of the scriptures. Even when they knew the scriptures, they were not following them. Just like the wise men come to Jerusalem, they give the answer, but they don't follow it themselves. This prophecy was also repeated in Malachi, Malachi chapter 3. So herein is the danger for us. Number one, that in our lives we will just allow circumstances to guide us instead of the Bible. Instead of going to God with a question, it's so easy to just let circumstances dictate what we're going to do. We always need to go to the Bible to consult. So that's the danger number one, is that we will not bring it to the Lord first and seek the answer from the Bible. The second danger is that we know what the Bible says and do not follow it. Just like the scribes did not follow the wise men, they didn't follow the scripture. They didn't go with the wise men to seek after Jesus. Herod didn't go. And in the case of John the Baptist, they themselves didn't listen to the scriptures. So in Malachi 3, verse 1, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap." And on it goes. So what did Jesus do when he came to the temple? At the very beginning of his ministry and at the end, he did the same thing. And that was, he threw out the changers of money, those who were buying and selling in the temple. He threw them out and cleansed the temple. And that has reference here in verse 2. He's like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. A refiner's fire is like in Psalm 12, where you would heat up, it talks about silver there. Heat it up, you pull the slag off, heat it up, pull the slag off, until seven times, and you end up with a pool of molten metal that's a mirror. You can see yourself in it. It's pure, the purest silver. So sadly, these people did not listen. So the question for us is, in our lives, are we, when we have a question, are we coming to the scripture for the answer? Are we coming to the Lord? The second part is are we following what the scriptures say? Are we following what God says to do? Now, the wise men rejoiced because they did follow. But the scribes, the Pharisees, and the chief priests, they weren't rejoicing while John the Baptist was on the scene, nor while Jesus was on the scene. Why? Because they were not following the scriptures. So may God help us. I just found it interesting in reading through the scriptures again. Matthew 1, Joseph needed the scriptures to guide him. Matthew 2, the wise men needed the scriptures to guide them. Matthew 3, the Jewish people needed the scriptures to recognize John the Baptist was prophesied to come before the Messiah. They should have been ready and waiting when Jesus came on the scene, but they were not. So may God help us to be ready this week to do his will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. How refreshing it is when we can come to you. You tell us that your command is exceeding broad, meaning that it can be applied to an exceeding broad, exceeding vast amount of questions. an infinite number of questions, because you can point out things to us as we're seeking your will. So, Lord, help us. Help us to be like Joseph when we understand the scriptures, that we understand what to rightly do. Help us to be like the wise men when we understand the scriptures, that we know what to do. So, Lord, help us to be ready for our soon coming Lord and Savior, because we are following your word. So please help us this week, Lord. There could be a vast amount of different questions that all of us face, different decisions. Lord, teach us. Show us thy way. And Father, if there should be anyone here tonight who does not yet know the way of salvation, help them to realize the scriptures are clear that Jesus is the prophesied Messiah and Savior, born of a miraculous virgin birth. We read about it tonight. Lived a perfect sinless life and then died on the cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree. Was buried and rose in victory from the grave, proving that his blood was sufficient to wash away our sins. Lord, may no one leave without Jesus Christ as Savior. Lord, please lead and guide us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books.